Welcome to the first episode of The Floating Experiment. I'm so excited that this idea is finally coming to fruition, and I'm so excited that you're listening and here with me today. Let's get started. Welcome to The Floating Experiment. I'm your host, Kim Kogani. And this podcast is meant to be a moment of pause in your busy day. Get comfy, take a deep breath, and let's go to the show. So you might be wondering, what is the floating experiment, Kim? Well, in order for me to explain the floating experiment, I'm going to go back a few years. I was sitting in my therapist's office. I don't remember the exact details, but I was just having a really difficult time. Everything felt really hard. I remember, like, I couldn't sleep. I felt overwhelmed and busy, and I just didn't feel like I could get to where I wanted to go. I felt really stuck. And nothing I was doing was working. And all of my goals just felt a little bit out of reach. And I remember my therapist simply asking me, Kim, why don't you just turn around and float for a while? And that was the first time I met this imagery of floating. And what she meant by that was, instead of actively trying and efforting and, you know, to be working so hard to get to where I wanted to go, instead I could just kind of relax, take care of myself, take a deep breath, and let the current of life carry me for a little bit and see where I ended up. I didn't have to be in such a rush to get to where I was going. Fast forward to last year, I decided to close my jewelry company that I had for 10 years. I started it with just $200 of my own money while I had a full-time job at a call center, and ultimately grew it to having two retail stores in Seattle and a small staff that helped with the operations and the making of the jewelry. And it was a really challenging decision, but one that I am so grateful for looking back on. And this decision kind of pivoted me, and I embarked on this journey of transition to find what's next. And I started just kind of exploring and seeing what was out there. And one of the things that I chose was a training called Inner Voice Facilitator Training. So this training was founded by another podcast host. Her name is Jess Lively, and I've been listening to her show, The Lively Show, for a long time, I think like 7 years or so. And through that, I was reconnected with my own inner voice or intuition or your higher self, whatever you want to call it, but that knowing that lives inside of you. When you say that you make a decision from your gut or you have a gut reaction, that's your inner voice at play. So I signed up for this inner voice facilitator training, and it was such a wonderful experience because I got to be a member of this really beautiful community and strengthen my connection with my inner voice while learning how to facilitate these sessions to where people can have conversations with their own inner voice. And throughout the training, I noticed that my inner voice kept bringing up floating. And I love imagery so much as a way to better understand my life. And so I think that's why my inner voice chose floating. And it just kind of stuck with me. And now I use it as a gauge for my life of, like, am I swimming upstream? Am I floating? And long story short, the floating experiment is kind of me choosing to really commit to living my life in a different way. You know, once I said goodbye to my jewelry company, I also said goodbye to having a full calendar. I used to love having just a packed calendar full of meetings and happy hours and all of these things and being busy, and it really made me feel good about myself. But I noticed that you know, I could only do that for so long, and I was struggling with this deep burnout. So the floating experiment is the opposite of that. It's me trying to figure out a new way of being. How can I slow down? How can I embrace not being busy? How can I see the current that's flowing and guide myself along that and let the water carry me and just enhance where I'm already going instead of trying to control the outcome and trying to decide what I think I want? And so this podcast is really meant to be just that, this open, flowing conversation where I'm just sharing my experiences, my struggles, my learning, you know, what I'm doing in my life, in hopes that it brings about some calm and ease into your life. I very much want this to feel and to hold the energy of when you have a really great conversation with a friend over coffee. And I hope that you embrace a little bit of floating in your life and, you know, notice where you might be swimming upstream as well. So yeah, let's dive a little bit deeper into this, and we can talk about some examples of floating versus swimming. I think the realm of creativity is a really fun one to explore with this idea of floating and swimming. And I often think back to my jewelry days when I would sit down to design a new collection. I would always have an idea of what I intended to make. I would maybe sketch out a few ideas, and then I would sit down and lay all the materials out, and then I would just let the metal tell me what it wanted to be. And I was very much there as a guide to help the materials be molded into ultimately what they felt they wanted to be. And it felt like, you know, I was channeling this energy and I wasn't necessarily creating from my mind. Whereas I would sit down and have sessions where I was swimming upstream, where I would have all these rigid sketches and I would decide that the metal and the materials needed to fit in this certain way. And what I noticed during those sessions is that there was so much resistance. Metal doesn't always want to be bent a certain way, or things were just really challenging. Nothing would come out the way that I wanted, and the more rigid I became, the worse the outcome was. And so that's just a one example of like swimming versus floating. When you're floating, there is just a certain amount of ease in your life. It's not saying that there are no obstacles or that everything is easy and great all the time. It's more about your reaction to your environment, your reaction to your own emotions, and just how you choose to navigate the world. Another example of floating versus swimming upstream that I have is from about 3 years ago. I wanted to move to a different neighborhood in Seattle, and I had found this house and it was so cute and I really wanted it. I went and toured it, I applied, and I was texting the owner of it and just envisioning myself there, and I just wanted it so badly. And it, the more I reached out, the more it just didn't work out. And what actually had happened was that I was not the first applicant, and the owner just didn't ever tell me that she had already rented it out. And I was so disappointed. I just felt devastated by this. And, you know, a month later, I, on a whim, went to see this apartment in the same neighborhood, actually just two streets over. And I immediately fell in love with it. And as I moved into this place and lived in it, I realized that this apartment that I had found after losing the house was even better than the house that I had wanted. Like, it fit me even better. I wasn't actually ready to live in a single, you know, family home alone, and this apartment was perfect. It was bright. It was recently renovated. It was closer to all of the coffee shops and like the grocery store that I liked, and everything was walkable, and it just kind of flowed into my life, and it wasn't on my radar at all, and it was this beautiful gift that I didn't even know that I wanted. And that's how floating can work. Just, you know, instead of holding on to a disappointment, ask yourself, why did I want that? Why didn't I get it? Why am I feeling disappointed? And then just kind of let it go as you float along and trust that something more aligning, something that's better for you will come along. The most recent example of floating is actually related to the inner voice training. So they're starting a new round of inner voice facilitator training, and I had really wanted to be a group leader, and I had applied and I didn't get it. And I just remember reading the email and feeling so bummed, like, you know, I wasn't enough, or I didn't get this thing that I really wanted. And then I paused and sat with it, and I was like, why, Kim, did you actually want this? And what I learned was that I just wanted to feel chosen. I didn't actually want the job itself. And once I realized that I just wanted them to choose me, I was able to easily let it go and to trust that something better was going to come along. And in fact, had I accepted that training, I wouldn't have had the time or space to work on this podcast, for example. And so floating isn't about, you know, never being disappointed, things never going awry. It's just that you're not holding on to that and carrying it with you. You're just lovingly, you know, feel the feelings, let it go, and move on to what is next. So there you have it. That's a little bit about what the floating experiment is, a few details about who I am, and I'm just really excited to embark on this journey and to uncover whatever arises and to float together. So I hope you'll continue listening, and feel free to reach out if you have any questions or any topics you want to cover, and I hope you'll come back and listen to the next episode. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to find me, you can go to thefloatingexperiment.com and at thefloatingexperiment on Instagram. May you embrace a new way of being and invite that sensation of floating into your life. Until next time, take care.